see if I got this right. Salam Link?
Wow.
Amen. Good afternoon to all of you. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about what's going on with the leadership of this group. I want you to feel really good about the fact that you are all well represented here. There is no one way to address the challenges that we all have in front of us. You might recall that about 6 weeks ago I came before you and I think I said something to that effect. We're going to need people to shake their afros at people. We're going to need folks who are a little bit more poised and composed and who speak the King's English and crunch out the verbs and the adjectives in exactly the way that folks don't look like us need to hear things said. But I want you to know that the voices of all of you are being heard. I am personally looking very closely at the responsibility of some of our leaders in being prepared to do the kinds of negotiations, arbitrations, with the institutions that we don't normally have a chance to talk with. Someone's got to be able to meet with the police who don't want to be met with. Someone's got to be able to walk into the commander's office. And there was a Commander Eads who spoke at the funeral yesterday, who is retired, who said things that suggested the possibility that there is an open door for further dialogue. He also said some things that were problematic. But to the extent that there is anything that is said that potentially opens the door for us to have a conversation of substance that talks about the issues of justice in a measurable way that gets to the bottom line that we're all struggling for, some of us have to be prepared for that, and I do believe that I am that person. I use my medical degree to gain access. Now, those of you who know me, I've been an activist all my life. I'm not afraid to go to jail. I'm not afraid to shake my hands off. We'll stand in the presence of the police and tell them, on strike, shut it down, take me to jail. I am not troubled by it. And in the interest of full disclosure, I was at one time married to Attorney John Burris, and so I know the role of activism, and I support the work that he's doing. Also, in the interest of full disclosure, I do not stand to gain from anything that he will gain, and I think that's important for you to know as well. But what I'm here to say to you is that for what all has taken place in the last 10 days, do not despair. We are very clear that the four officers who died are being fully investigated to determine whether or not they were as noble as we are told they were. And because if they were as noble as we are told they were, then we stand in solidarity, in full support, without restraint, in our support of the work that they have done. We all need police officers. I don't think that there's anyone among us who would say that we don't need policing. But we need culturally sensitive, culturally competent, culturally respectful policing. We're all in agreement on that. We had an opportunity a few days ago to meet with the police chief, and we asked the chief whether or not cultural sensitivity and competence was something that was being addressed. And the answer was skirted over. There was no great substance given to it. We specifically asked whether or not there was any sensitivity given to the state of mind of the black community, having just recovered or still experiencing the profound grief and loss of one Oscar Grant III, for whom justice is still waiting, We asked that question. We asked whether or not there was any proactive effort on the part of the police chief and the trainers of the trainers to make certain that the officers have a compassion for the fact that the black community is still mourning. The response that we got was not at all what we were hoping for. We got a very generic answer. The answer basically said, oh yes, we do. We do cultural sensitivity training. We give it about 7 to 10 days, and we try to make certain that people understand our differences. But we didn't hear anything that said that they really get it. And part of my job is to make certain that as we go forward in our full campaign with different strategies, that someone is prepared to hit the hard note, so that when it's all said and done, and we say we want justice, we have a clear picture of what justice looks like. Justice for Oscar Grant is certainly the prosecution of all parties who were involved in his death.
All parties.
All parties. Not just Johannes Nezinger. Justice for Oscar Grant's family is to be able to witness that reality. That's first and foremost. A second justice for Oscar Grant and his family is the compensation that hopefully puts together for them a means of living the rest of their lives with some sense of relief, so that they can do forth in the memory of Oscar Grant the great things that Oscar had the great potential of doing. We're very grateful for the organization BAM that has taken the time to put together the video programs that have helped us to learn who Oscar Grant is. And the most recent videograms have just been excellent in helping us to know him as our brother, not just the son of, not just the nephew of, but he's ours. We know him now, and we love him. And we were suffering yesterday as we witnessed the funeral of 4 officers and heard about 1 officer who left a 4-year-old daughter behind. None of us could hear that without thinking about Oscar. None of us could appreciate the depth of compassion that was missing on the part of the city of Oakland, on the part of the police department, on the part of all of the leadership that was assembled in those front rows of that of the funeral yesterday. There was a lack of compassion from all of them regarding the loss of Oscar Grant. Mm-hmm. Part of justice is to hear them say, we're sorry. Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, needs to say it. Dianne Feinstein needs to say it. The mayor needs to say it in a way that's convincing.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Barbara Lee has already said it. But we do need to hear Attorney General Jerry Brown say it and mean it. But if we hear people say these things, it's the beginning of the next step of healing. Because if you don't admit that something horrible went wrong, then we might as well close shop and you shut down any effort at talking to you. So you know what it is when you're in an argument with somebody and they can't concede that they screwed up. They insulted you. They can't say, I'm sorry. You know, you don't want to continue the conversation with them. And so we're taking, you're hearing some intense voices. You're hearing the voice of my brothers who are certainly more dynamic than my voice. And I can't preach with passion. I can want you to know I can do that. But in this circumstance, I want you to know that the balance, the voice of conciliation, the voice of diplomacy, the voice of readiness to be prayerful, soften the approach. Let's stop and examine timing. The timing for a press conference wasn't Thursday. Timing for a press conference wasn't Friday. There will be a need for a press conference in which we as a leadership team and all of you will come together and give a proper response to the shooting of 4 human beings who we hope time will bear out were noble and courageous. We will also, in that press conference, talk about the sad loss of yet another human being, a brother, who fell victim to being black, being black in America. We can try to separate it out and suggest that his blackness in the community and the struggles of being black had nothing to do with the fact that he was just a thug or that he was just a criminal. But we know that there's some overlap. And so because he is a human being, and because we as African Americans understand what the struggle was for him in some way, we have compassion for him, and we have compassion for his family. He has a grandmother and a sister and a mother who are left behind, who are grieving the loss. It's never just a person who dies. So having said all of that, I just want you all to know that there is a strong team here, brothers and sisters, who are prayerfully approaching our responsibility to hear from you, to process all that we're witnessing, and to be prepared to act in a courageous, in a bold, in a new, in an outside-the-box sort of way. This is not going to be business as usual for any of us. Thank you.
My sister hit the nail on the head when she said it's no longer business as usual. For too long, we've participated in political processes where often we find those who receive our vote, we may not hear or see them again until the next election cycle. We would ask what happened in between. Sometimes they might even tell you themselves, nothing happened. Well, our charge now is our duty to organize those in elected positions as our duty. They call this a democracy. Isn't that what it's called?
Yes.
And whoever's there is said to be representative of the thoughts, ideas, and political desires of the people. I want to bring before you a brother that I've known for a number of years, who he and his family have long been political activists and scientists in our communities. So as we're looking to produce change, we are certainly looking for those in the world of politics that are unafraid to stand on truth. So please join me in receiving our brother, the brother Wilson Rivers.